Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What is this idiot doing?
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It's Monday! And just like I told you, the Texans would be well on their way to dropping 3 in a row. They've dropped 2 in a row of the 3 that I said they'd lose. They are not playing well as a unit. And I'm sure you want to talk about it. We can talk about that and a lot more. We've got a full plate. We've got Travis Johnson. And with a full plate and Travis Johnson, we know that if you guys want to eat, there's a seat at the table. We can move from the living room to the dining room and feed everybody and also make sure that we fill you with plenty of knowledge. Because as Travis and I were talking on the way into the studio, not that we want to blow our own horn, not that we're the Tower of Power horn section or Chicago, but what we do feed to you people normally comes to fruition, and we will get to several of those instances, which we covered in the past few weeks, that have done just that over the course of 3 different sports. But with that being said, there's plenty to talk about because we've got Tom Herman departing for U of H, from U of H to Texas. We've got the Texans with another loss. We've got the Rockets on quite a roll and winning games that they're supposed to win, which normally they'd lose, so that's big. College football and the rankings come out tomorrow night for the actual official rankings, but we can kind of get a good idea of where everybody's going to sit. But before I do any of that, I'd love to throw to my esteemed co-host and just check in with him. See, of all the Wii's, you had 2 Wii's going up against each other this weekend.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I texted to make sure that you were there.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, and you came away thinking,
You know what? It was bittersweet, you know, for me because it was, you know, this marked basically like the last game I officially played in because I got hurt in the same game 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, and you know, it was just good to see Phillip. It was good to see Antonio Gates. It was good to see Stucky. It was good to see Pagano Pags. It was good to hang out and see the guys, and it was good to watch the game. But then it kind of was, you know, it took me back a little bit. You know, yeah. It kind of made me a little nostalgic at times. It was good to see the Spanos. You know, all of them were there, so that was great. You know what? I came away. You know, I was funny because I was talking to Pagano, the defense coordinator, earlier. We talked about an hour before the game. And he was like, his brother called him and said, "Hey man, we need y'all to get this win because it'll help us in the division."
Right.
You know, and at that time, the first thing I said was, "I think y'all get the win. It just depends on how good the quarterback plays. If 17 comes to play, then the rest of them might come to play. But if he doesn't play well, then this game is not even going to be close." And lo and behold, 17 didn't play well. I mean, when it came to missing targets, he missed a few. Easy first downs that have kept drives going and would have led to probably points that could have potentially won them the game. And it was actually a great game, man. It was a great game. You know, I can't complain, man. Hanging out in the locker room before and after the game, I can't complain.
I was going to say, for you, and you hear a lot of people say it, it's good to actually hear from you and get your perspective because unless you've played organized sports and you played it at a certain level, and I was lucky enough to play it in college. You've played it in a pro setting. Stepping away from the game is one thing, but you hear all the athletes talk about the fact that there is nothing, and I mean nothing in the world like that bond in the locker room. And when you walk away from it, it's something that makes walking away from the game
so much more difficult because you know you will never again experience that kind of bond anyway again. And for you to be able to walk back into that environment, and you and I were texting a little bit, but you know, I felt for you because, you know, Keenan was there as well. He had played with the Chargers as well. And for you guys to be able to at least still touch base with those that are still heavily involved, it's great. But it also, like you said, it's bittersweet and it's melancholy because you remember the days when you were actually a part of it.
What I was, you know, it's funny because I was outside when I guess it would be considered, I guess it would be considered bus three. Bus three pulls up, which is normally the last bus to come.
Yep.
And, you know, Phillip gets there and Gates gets there. And, you know, me and Phillip hug it out. Me and Gatesy hug it out. And I'm just laughing because Phillip had on, you know, he just looking at his threads. You know what I mean? He doesn't have the bolo tie on, but
he's
he has
straight
like,
cowboy.
Yeah, but he's, you know, Phillip is country as they come. You know, we just talking about each other's kids and how, you know, how your wife doing, how your kids doing. And, you know, and going to see the trainers, you know, I hung out with a couple of guys on the train, from the training room that took such good care. I'll tell you, took immaculate care of me when I was there. You know what I mean? Being banged up from being lied to when I was here about what my injury really was.
God, I know what that feels like.
So they took great care of me, and it was, you know, my wife asked me when I got home, how did it feel? Because she could tell I was still kind of, I was kind of flicked.
Emotion,
I was kind of flicked it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she just was, and when I thought about it, then I realized, because it was, that was the first time where I realized why I felt that way.
You it's know like what I mean? The greatest Thanksgiving weekend of all for you, because you get the family time. You get the Thanksgiving with the family and the family in town for you, and then you get to reconnect again with not one but two of your teams, but all your old, you know, compadres and all the people that were such an integral part of what you were doing. That's pretty special.
Yeah, it was closure. That's what it was for me. Okay. It was closure. It was the.
Did you feel like you needed it?
Yeah, I did. You know, because I got to talk. I went out on such a crazy way of being hurt and. You know, and not knowing why I didn't, you know, I was like, oh, why didn't I re-sign to San Diego? Why didn't, you know, like, we had this talk. We were in contract negotiation before the season. And then I was like, oh, no, I want a little bit more and blah, blah, blah. My agent died, you know what I mean, my free agent year, and I hired freaking Drew Rosenhaus, and that didn't work out. And it just was, it was so many questions in the air that I was able to talk with the Spanoses. I was able to talk to a couple guys, you know, the GM, able to talk to people in place of, help me get that close, just to find out all the details of how it went down and
some people why don't get that. Down. That's you pretty cool I mean? That at least you can get that. Because some people, it's like you're a commodity, you're an asset, and when you're there, hey, as long as you're helping them out, you're great. And when it's time to go, they don't even have to tell you anything, and you don't ever have to get for you to get closer and get an explanation. That's a pretty big thing that not a lot of people get. So that's valuable in itself.
Oh, no question.
So you had a good Thanksgiving. Nicholas, how was your Thanksgiving? Nick, great, quick great Nick behind the glass.
Great Thanksgiving. Had plenty of food. How about you guys?
Mine was quiet. Everybody got sick because my little girl got sick at school twice.
So everybody got sick again?
So she got tonsillitis the first time at 14 and a half months. And then some parents decided it would be a good idea to bring their kid to school with strep throat.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So after being healthy for a day, she came home with, get this, laryngitis for a child. And got completely. She's still fighting it. And we all got it. You know, we just got the congestion.
Get her some Scott's Emulsion.
I don't know what that is. But
it's like a codfish oil. It's like a codfish oil. I guess you'd call it vitamin. You know, booster. But it's my grandmother gave it to me. I never was sick growing up. Like I just ordered some for my kids because the baby gets sick every now and then. And I just ordered some for my kids because I'm like, dude, I never
get sick, but she comes home with all this stuff, and inevitably we both end up with it. So, yeah, it was quiet for us. The three of us just kind of did a quiet Thanksgiving and checked in with you guys periodically and did not rub it in when all my predictions came true and yours didn't. But plenty of stuff to get to on that. And as we said in some of the things that we said, the worst win in the history of University of Houston proved to be true as Tom Herman departed in one of the worst-kept secrets and the worst-handled situations I've ever seen. And he was introduced as the University of Texas's new coach this weekend after he lost a game to Memphis that already got some bitterness stirred amongst the Cougar Nation. And that's something we can talk about as well. So we have plenty to talk about between now and 4 o'clock, so we want you to be a part of the show. 713-780-ESPN, or you can tweet us. At the man who made 99 famous, before there was a JJ, there was a TJ or a Trap J. That's Travis J. Trap J99 will get you to Travis. At No Hit Nick will get you to Nick. And at Pac-Man Joel with a K will get you to me. And if you try and use that during the game, if it's not going well tonight, you are going to get whatever I feel like giving you. But plenty to talk about. So as well as everything else, we do want you to download the app and go to ESPN975.com. Listen while you're at work. And if you get the app, you can listen in your car. You can listen when you go on the road. You can take us with you, and we're happy to be there. So we're here till 4. Call us, tweet us, check in with us, text us, ESPN975.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, and Nick on a Monday. Your team. I don't know if it's my team. Your team. America's team. I don't know. They wear red, white, and blue.
Houston's team.
Houston's team. And the bandwagon of jumping on, piling on, and trying to annihilate BO got a lot worse yesterday. And it's funny because I mentioned the fact that I was tweeting with both you. I mean, texting with both you guys. You and Keenan were both at the game. Mm-hmm. One, as always, more responsive than the other. Keenan came out of his shell. I mean, he was just like breaking it down and sending me text after text. And I was like, well, when they went down, I think 11.
Yeah.
And I said, Mac, on this drive, if he doesn't put together a long established drive, he's going to get the Boobirds are coming out full force.
The Boobirds are out early in the game,
and that's what he said. But then they got worse, and that's when he threw that pick that was 6 feet over the head of any receiver.
Yeah.
That was the easiest pick in the world. And I said, "Oh my God, it's what we've been talking about for 2 months." He stares down receivers, but yet to be that big. And you know what's funny? I watched Russell Wilson yesterday afternoon, and then I watched two quarterbacks last night in that game, one who's a game manager, and as we've been saying for months, that used to be a good title.
Yeah.
Some people certainly think now it's not, but Alex Smith is a game manager, and he does it well.
No question.
And then you watch Simeon, the kid from Denver. He made a throw running right, cross his body to the left, on the run in the air, and got it there right between the numbers. And I'm thinking, and a 6'7" quarterback standing flat-footed in the pocket.
And that's actually a pretty good athlete.
Cannot get the ball even close to his receivers. And I'm watching these throws from all these different quarterbacks. Wilson's a small guy. With the flick of a wrist, he's putting that ball 30 yards in the air and on a dime in a window on the sideline. And I'm going, God, you know what? The Texans have so much around this guy and then spent so much to get their guy. And it's just not working out. And I don't know that I'm... Look, they're still in first place, so I don't think this is a situation where you can make the move that everybody wants you to make and go to Tom Savage. But here's the other thing. If you think about this from Bill O'Brien's perspective, and again, I've been saying for 2 months he should be on the hot seat. Now suddenly, and I've said Rick Smith too, now suddenly these two guys that are supposedly talent evaluators are suddenly finally being evaluated. But in the process, I was thinking about this going, okay, but what if they put Savage in? And what if he craps the bed? Now, a guy that you've been keeping around that you wasted a draft pick on that you thought could be a really serviceable quarterback in the NFL, he ends up flailing out too, and you go, wow, we really look at our track record, and from the guys we brought in to the guys we drafted, we didn't do so good.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to put him in to be able to see.
Yep.
I think the question is when do you pull that trigger?
In first place, it'd be different if you were – the Cleveland Browns, and you could say, let's just put Tom Savage in, see what he's got, so we know if we need to go get a quarterback.
But it's not just that. You're the fact that you're in first place, but the fact that next year, 17 has got to be on the roster anyway because of how much money
you're
paying.
You can't cut
him. So right now, they're not going to play him anytime soon. When they play him, it'll be next year if he's at the time. I said it'll be – if they're 3-5 or, you know what I mean, 3-4 or whatever at a certain point, 7-8 games of the season, then they play him because guess what? If he does well, we can cut 17. If he doesn't do well, we can cut the both of them. And it
See,
might
he's
like,
guaranteed for next year. So
yeah,
he's
exactly.
not going anywhere.
Hey, that's what now, I'm saying.
And so I don't know if you if you're McNair, do you just put these guys on a parallel universe and go, how Brock goes, you go, Bill. And if he's bad, you're going with him.
I mean, I think you have to, because if it's a guy that he wanted and a guy that he really co-signed for, I think the biggest thing is, and not to backtrack, but to go back to that interception.
Yep.
When you saw it, the fact is he was throwing the ball to CJ Fedorowicz, who's 6'6".
Yes. Yeah. You know, hard to miss that guy.
It's very hard to miss that guy. He's one of the bigger
tight
ends.
When I'm talking
about
Simeon, I'm looking at guys like Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, no. This guy is 6'6". You know, and I think you got to – when the ball sailed like that, it made me wonder about his mechanics.
I've been saying it over and over and over again. His mechanics are just not good.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you got to be Blake Bortles, but ask for some help.
No, but I don't even know if it's the actual, like, he still has a lot of good traits in his mechanics. But I'm speaking on his hand placement on the ball, because you know, a lot of times when balls sail on quarterbacks, their index finger is too close to the tip of the ball. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, Bradshaw used to throw it like that, but he was one of the rare cases where he could be accurate, with
like
his hand
that,
on the tip of the ball.
Exactly, but for most guys, if their index finger is anywhere near the tip, that tip would make the ball sail or kind of have a little bit different flight on the ball. It'd have an upwards flight on the ball. And I think earlier in the game, you saw him with more of a when he was throwing passes, it was more of a downward trajectory.
Right.
So I think he tried to overcorrect his mechanics in the middle of the game, and then it sailed on him, and that's how you got that interception.
And again, don't make corrections. The game is not the place to start tweaking it. It's the practice field.
Well, it's always, I mean, yes and no. I mean, you always, the game, we're constant. We're like the IBM computer. We're like the IBM computer or the Jeopardy computer. You constantly are critiquing everything you do as you're going through it. You know, if a certain technique is not working, you switch to another one. And I know that.
But he wasn't playing bad
early.
That's what I'm saying.
Early.
So then don't, if it's not broke, don't fix it now, because that's when you meddle and you start meddling. That's when you can get it to go bad.
Well, I think that's what comes down to coaching, as far as what did coach tell him on the sideline to make him change it up? What is he saying? Hey, man, your balls are dying. You know, not those balls, but
Nick,
you know,
there's so many different quotes that you need to go back
and isolate so much.
When he says that everybody should know that when the finger's on the tip, your balls will sail. Those are things that we have to make sure. That's locker room material
right there. Yep.
But I mean, he might have gotten corrected on the sideline from his coach of saying, this is what's going on. You know, when you come to the sideline, you tell the coach what you saw, and he tells you what he saw. You know, and I think when you're giving
you can
that,
go to the tablet for God's sake now,
yeah,
and look
tablet,
at it.
The tablet is
the
overrated.
Video's not going to lie.
The video is overrated right then and there. My mind is better than replaying it right here on. And really, all it is the pictures for the most part. I don't know if they actually put in the actual video of the replay on the tablets. I think they're just taking, instead of doing the old school grainy pictures like we enjoy to look at, they are doing, I think, high resolution pictures. I don't think they're actually giving you a video to rewatch each one of your plays. I think that right there wouldn't be fair.
Well, whether you go to video or not, when your mind's telling you no, but your body's telling you yes.
Sound like R. Kelly.
Thank you very much. Basically, regardless, what we watched was another meltdown. It was the same thing over and over again. Now, the one thing that I will say that Keenan and I were talking about, I think the Chargers also pinpointed something that other teams didn't see in the Texans.
And what was that?
Attack the back half of the secondary.
Yeah.
They found weaknesses. Bouye was not his normal self. They found...
And how about his penalties, man?
They started to expose some things
that were ridiculous.
So with that, now it's a twofold issue, because now you're still worried about the one never going away issue, and now your defense is starting to get, because with a guy like Rivers, he's a surgeon,
yeah,
and he saw some things on tape that other teams weren't looking at. Instead of just giving him credit as an overall defense, he started figuring out who the weak links were and where they might have some weaknesses, and then he exploited the hell out of them.
Oh, no question. I think for me it was what got exposed was our tackle play in this game, or our
when you say our because it's we versus we.
I mean, like hour I'm speaking on Houston right now. I'm saying as far as Houston, the Texans tackle play. You know what I mean? As far as Joey Bosa was out there eating yesterday. He was out there taking.
By the way, Brian Payne on Twitter, who's a Chargers fan, wanted to know what you thought of him, seeing him in person.
Joey Bosa's real deal.
Real deal.
Real deal. I mean, strong hands, plays with great leverage. He knows how he knows his body. He's a great leaner. He's a knee bender, not a waist bender. I mean, he plays with a high motor. I like the kid. I like the kid a whole lot, man. And I hate to gas him up, but he can play some ball.
Nick, get that one too. When you're a knee bender and not a waist bender. That goes right there with where you put your finger on the tip and if your balls are flying. All right, so we got plenty of balls flying around here and plenty to talk about. We just started getting into the Texans. We have U of H. We have college football. We have the Rockets. We have your good friend, Coach O, getting the job that you wanted him to get at LSU.
And what did I tell you who he was going after to be his OC?
Lane Kiffin.
And that's the only reason they gave him the job.
What did I tell you that you tell me that we tell the listeners every day? What we bring to the table is real and most times comes to fruition. So just listen and tell friends. And guess what? We'll all be number one together. And we'll all be experts. That's all we ask. Tell a friend and let's get this thing rolling even faster and farther than it's already going. And take us with you wherever you go. And by the way, my man Travis Johnson is good people. That's why I asked him about his weekend, and that's why we were talking about what happened over the course of yesterday and the fact that I knew it was a little emotional for him. But if you need a hug, you got options. Spin the dial and go somewhere else, because I'm telling you right now, I get hugs from my family. My family's right here in this room as well as back home at my house. So we'll stick together and you stick to where you stick. But guess what? I'm with him. He's with me. So if you're going to take shots at stupid stuff, you have options. Use them. Otherwise, for the rest of you, I see your tweets and we're coming at you. Ike, we love you. I'm appreciating the fact that Ike tweeted, hey, you know what? I knew it was missing from my holiday weekend. That first segment made me realize I've been missing my sports radio. Well, we're back and hopefully you guys are too. 713-780-ESPN. You can hit us up on Twitter and or you can call us and be a part of the show. Well, you text, you can call, or you can tweet and we'd love to have you. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis, Joel, and Nick till 4. We're rolling. First segment was good. Second segment was better. And we'll continue to build as we go. Lamont, I love the fact that you're listening again because it always adds to the show. And I love the fact that other shows listen and they take note of the fact that what we talk about is good fodder for them to use as well. But we should get more shout-outs and credit for that. Lamont wants to know, would you fire Bill O'Brien? I've said for months now he's been on the hot seat. I also don't let Rick Smith get a pass. I started with Rick Smith as well. I put them both on the hot seat at the same time. I am not impressed by Bill O'Brien. I'm sorry. For a guy that was labeled, and you and I have talked about this, the quarterback whisperer, he's nowhere near Norv Turner. And I was just in the break charting and going down the list of guys from Brock, Fitzpatrick, Mallett, Hoyer. If Savage doesn't pan out, and for all the guys that they've rolled through the doors on Kirby, and for the fact that this is a guy that's supposed to be able to take potential and turn it into on-field talent, and then you talk about when to throw the red flag and when not to, and whatever that system is that's not working out or not in place the way it should be. And then you talk about the play calling and how conservative they are and predictable. And you know what? I played football, right? But I didn't play it to your level. I didn't play it in college. But I know the game to some degree, but it's really pathetic when I'm starting to predict every single play they're going to run and what they're going to do, because it shows there are no wrinkles. There's no flair. There's no element of the unexpected where they can catch a team sleeping. And then I watch, and like I said, with the Sunday ticket, I watch a ton of football, especially when the Packers aren't playing. And everything else I see, I go, God, the Texans should run that play. They have the talent to run that play. Their backs, good Lord, at least I'll give them that. I mean, with Blue out, you give Akeem a chance to run, and he can fly.
You give him a chance to run, but I was saying this all the entire time before the game is, if Brent Grimes is healthy, give him the ball.
Yeah, I think he can play too.
He's the most versatile guy we have in that backfield. When he was hurt, I think that hurt the offense a lot earlier in the
season.
He
recovered, if I'm not mistaken, he recovered the onside kick as well,
yeah,
right?
He did. He did. I mean, he's a football player. He doesn't look like much. He has zero swag. Like, that's why we call him No Swag. But at the end of the day, he is a football player.
There's something to be said about that. Who cares about what color socks you wear and what kind of touchdown dances you do? Just play the game. And if you play it well, there's going to be a spot for you on a roster because you make plays.
Exactly.
And so I throw it back to Lamont's question. Would you fire Bill O'Brien?
The problem is what his record finishes with. And if he goes to the playoffs, you can't, outside of being Denver and knowing we're one step away from winning a Super Bowl, you can't fire a coach that wins 10 games, 11 games,
and
goes to the playoffs.
I'm not looking for the man's head on a platter now, but I'm giving him till the end of this season. And like I said, if you really, you think about how McNair does things, and he really doesn't like the confrontation, and he doesn't like, he obviously doesn't like to be told what to do. He doesn't care how much pressure the fans put on everything. And we've witnessed that with Rick Smith and with the quarterback situation as a whole and other things. But I'm going to firmly attach Bill O'Brien's wagon to Brock Osweiler right now. I'll give him till the end of the year, and if you want to give him till the end of next year because Brock's going to be around next year, then I can do that. But between now and the end of this season, I'm fine with you saying, you know what, if he makes the playoffs again, he wins the division. But here's my thing. As a city, I don't think that's acceptable anymore because you constantly want to take that next step. You want to progress. I'm not seeing progress. I'm not seeing a progression that says the first year they were happy to be there. The second year they were happy to win the division. The third year they wanted to win a playoff game. The fourth year, hey, now you got to put your pants on with the big boys and play with the Patriots and the Ravens. And you weren't able to do that. And then this was going to be the year because you got your quarterback. And every time you play a team that looks like it should be a Super Bowl contender, you get ass handled.
Yeah. Here's my biggest issue with all of them is the fact that even their first year here, everybody's like, oh, he won. What was it? What was it, 9-7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're 9-7. I said, people forget this was a 13-3 team 2 years ago that didn't make too many changes. So why are we acting like this is supposed to be a big deal that you won 9 games? You know, and last year winning the division again. I mean, winning the division and being in the playoffs, that's cool. But once again, this is a team that's been built to be great. And all we needed is a quarterback to take us over the hump. You know, and –
so here's my perspective on it too, right? You look at both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
On the defensive side of the ball, you lose your best player, arguably one of the top five best players in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the most dominant player on defense. And yet your defense is still top five. Your defense is still keeping you in games and playing above average, okay? Now you look at the other side of the ball and you say, well, we got a quarterback. That's what we were missing. But everything else is there. They've got three tight ends that are better than serviceable. They've got a go-to back, and as we've talked about, they've got other guys that can fill in. When I'm telling you what, man, when the receivers are healthy and you see what Miller can do on the slot, in the slot, and you see how Fuller opens it up so that D-Hop actually can get away from double teams, they're all hyper-talented. The line has stepped up from where we started at the start of the year, and of course, when you get your all-pro back in Duane Brown, it helps. But the line is still better than serviceable, okay?
Okay.
To where I'm not going to...
I'll take that. The problem is that I saw yesterday, well, them guys, I mean, them guys were having a rough day. They had a rough day out there yesterday.
And we all know people you're going to have rough days. But on defense, you lose one of the best players in the league, and you step up. On offense... you got talent all across the board, and your
top
quarterback can't step up. And if, again, as a layman can sit there and say, you can tell whether it's his mechanics or the fact that he stares down receivers, these are fixable problems that aren't being fixed. I got real problems with that.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you want to see progress week in and week out. I think, like you said, you saw that with the defense. With losing JJ, you saw everybody step up and say, you know what, let's get something done. I think that was the biggest, like you said, the biggest issue yesterday was the back end. You know, that was the first time they didn't look as
the first time that they really got exposed
but,
a little bit.
I mean, I love to agree with you, but I hate to agree with you that, I mean, you got to hitch them together. But is looking that way right now that you kind of got to.
Because well, I'm looking about, and here's the thing. I'm looking at it from a McNair perspective. Like other owners would just say, well, I'm done. I will accept the fact that I made a mistake, or I'll accept the, or I'll look at this and say, this guy's just not getting it done and I need to do something. Okay. But the way McNair seems to go about kind of soft selling it, I don't want to say other no. terms that I could use, but it just seems to me like, look, if the logical thing is you need a means to an end, then the means to the end is I'm hooking your wagon to Brock, and how Brock goes, you go. And if Brock goes, then you go. That's the way I would do this. But between now and the end of the regular season, because look, as much as everybody said, oh, the two-game lead, they got this division. It's just a matter of can they win in the playoffs? No, they don't have this division. Now, they're hanging on by their chinny chin chin. And if I'm right and they lose their third in a row when they lose to Green Bay next week, and by the way, as bad as the Packers secondary is, if he keeps doing what he's doing, they are going to have a field day with him. And then you're going to be looking at, well, now the division ain't so cut and dry.
Ain't so cut and dry, because Dallas will be, what, 6-5?
Tennessee's coming. And they run the hell out of the football, and Mariota's playing good football now.
This is going to be a great end to the season. I think this is the reason why I love the way the season is set up. When you got to play division games for your last game.
Yeah, so
you
can't, and here's the thing, too. Even if it's not like a division where you're running away with it, or you got two teams that only have one or two or three losses, that's why it's fun, because at least it's going to be, I go back to when the Packers, Bears, and Rodgers finally came back and they went to Chicago, and on the second to last play of the game, he throws a 60-yard touchdown to Randall Cobb. They win the division because they're playing the Bears and they got a shot. Yeah. If they were playing anybody else, the Bears could have cakewalked and just cleaned up on it. That's why I like exactly the way the schedule is now. But it also means that if you're a team like the Texans that got off to a good start, but now is starting to fade back to the pack, now you got to go, oh, God, and we still got how many division games left?
Exactly. That means you got, hey, bring your lunch pail.
Yeah. Like the game last night, which was a phenomenal football game. I never would have thought I would say that, and I would have stayed up to the bitter end because of how great a game it was. But you want to talk about two premier defensive football teams and guys making phenomenal plays on both sides of the football. You look at that now and say, for as good as Oakland was and thought they were cruising, they still have to go on the road to Kansas City and to Denver, where they're going to have to prove themselves all over again. That's why nothing is given to you, and nothing, you have to earn everything in the NFL.
That's why I say any given Sunday.
Yeah, it's awesome. But with that being said, that's why I said, look, I'll look at it two different ways with Bill O'Brien. I'll give him till the end of the year if I see that kind of progress. Because as a city, whether they're already fired up enough at Brock, but how much can you just say we win the division and then we may win a game, but then we're out? Are you okay with that? You can't be okay with that.
You know why I'm okay with it? Because I've been on the other side of that coin where we didn't even dream of ever getting to playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, playoffs were never a reality. You know, I remember Coop's first goal when he got here is, I'm going to make us a winner. And a winner is 8-8, 9-7. I'm a winner. I'm no longer a loser. I'm no longer am a 7-9 guy. You know,
A winner become a wiener when all you do is win a bad division and play one playoff game?
No, you don't, because games are too hard to come by in this league. I mean, you look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's been losing the first round forever,
i.e., thanks to the Texans.
But here's the thing: would you rather not have those wins?
Question we'll throw out to the fan base. Would you have those wins, win the division, get to the playoffs, and then get knocked out every year? Are you okay with that? Do you expect to see progress? These are the kind of questions we want to hear from you on. And by the way, Trap J, Sean and Ben, both on Twitter, want to remind you that it is not Brent Grimes. It is Jonathan Grimes. And if you love him that much, you should probably get his name right.
I was over there thinking about his wife, Miko.
Miko earlier, and her potty mouth.
And her tweets. And her ranting off yesterday
When she goes.
Yeah, so Jonathan Grimes, excuse me. I messed up No Swag's name. I apologize.
There you have it. So we've got plenty to talk to. We want to know what you think. Are you okay with them just winning, pulling out the division, maybe winning a playoff game, and then disappearing into the sunset? We want to hear from you regardless. We'll talk football, and we'll talk everything else, basketball and otherwise, up until 4 p.m. We're here Monday through Friday, ESPN 97.5.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So we're rolling along. We got a lot coming in and going out. We were talking about Bill O'Brien. We were talking about the Texans. Obviously, we're talking about the fact that BO stinks these days, and there's no deodorant in the world that seems like it's going to take care of it. And so with no remedy in sight, do you stick Savage in there, and can you? We talked about that because you really can't because you're not the Cleveland Browns. You're actually in first place. So experiments, this is not the time. So there's things that you need to work on, and there's things that you need to fix, but you got to do it on the run because you're hanging on by your chinny chin chin to first place. So there's a big problem. Now, with all that being said, is it time for Bill and or Rick Smith to go? Question was asked. I don't think so now, but I think there's going to be some real hard evaluation at the end of the season, so it's between now and the end of the season that a lot of things will be dictated. And then I threw the question out to you guys. Look, are you okay with winning the division, which is one of the worst divisions in football, and getting to the playoffs, and then either getting manhandled in the first round or winning one game only to get manhandled by a team that is a Super Bowl contender? Tyler, in the Heights, you want to chime in on this? What's on your mind?
You know, if this is because of my athletic background or what, and wanting to win it all, but we're in the AFC South. It's just not even a good division. I don't see the upside of every year going in and just making the playoffs because we're in this division and then getting smoked by whoever we play. I mean, you saw when we played the Patriots. They're a good team. We just got destroyed. So I'd rather see us bomb the season, win two games, and get good draft picks. I'm tired of living in a city where everybody is so gung-ho about making the playoffs, but we don't do anything in the playoffs. And you know, throughout the whole season, we have no chance of doing anything with it.
Yeah, but don't forget hashtag pursuit, brother. That's always there.
Hey, man, well, I'll tell you, Tyler, I totally, totally, totally disagree with you. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't stand a chance even win if you don't get there. And if you get there, no matter the Patriots could have a bad game, and you win a game. The Patriots, you got to remember when Pittsburgh won in 05, they were a wild card team, barely got in the playoffs.
Green Bay did the same thing.
When Green Bay won, the wild card team. When I was in San Diego and we lost, we were 13-3 and lost in 2008 or 2009, I think 2009, in the playoffs against the Jets, they were a wild card team. And the fact that they were able to get all the way to the AFC Championship game, that you're a couple snaps away from going to the Super Bowl.
But, Trav, I'm with Tyler from the simple standpoint of, okay, you know what? You don't want to be a loser, but at the same time, do you become a loser when all you do is the same thing over and over again and you never sniff progress?
No. I hate losing more than I love winning.
I can understand that.
And there's no way. There's no 2-14. I don't think the fans might, yeah, it's cool for them to come over here and have paper bags on their head and have and do all of those things that you do with a 2-14 team. But do you know how stressful and how hard and how long the season is at 2-14? You have to it's one thing to love what you do, but you also love it when you're winning games. And it's hard to come to work and think about, am I going to have a job next year because we're 2-14? Is this coach going to have a job next year because you're 2-14?
But again, bills that got to get paid. And I understand that. But these coaches, these players, they're not thinking that way because they're thinking we're winning just enough I don't have to look in the rearview mirror that hard.
They're not thinking that way.
I'd like to
There's nobody in that locker room thinking that way.
But I think it's the same mindset for a lot of teams, right, Trap? That, hey, let's just get into the playoffs. It's not that they don't have bigger and better goals once they get into the playoffs.
But you got to get in there first. And at the end of the day, there's nobody just saying, oh, let's do what's good enough to win. These are pros, man. These are guys that want to win games. These are guys that give all they want. They give their left pinky to win games.
Thank God you said pinky. But as a locker room then, aren't you saying to the coaching staff too, though? Look, this isn't acceptable, though. That we're dealing with a quarterback that is making all these errors that—
We also understand the business of the game. There's one thing to win, but there's also a business way about going about winning. And at the end of the day, if you give me, if I give you $72 million, you want to see a bunch of resentful guys? Have $72 million sitting on the bench and not even trying to help us while he getting a bulk of the money.
But at the same time, aren't you thinking that some of those veterans aren't thinking about knocking on his locker stall and saying, brother, you're getting all this money and you're supposed to be leading us. And,
Just because you're the quarterback don't mean you're the leader.
Okay, but do your job. Yeah, I don't care if you're a game manager, but do your job. And if you're not doing your job, look, it's like you go back to whether it's a salesman job and you're not selling and you're making some fundamental mistakes, then they'll bring a sales trainer in or you'll go get one and you'll say, what am I doing wrong? And I need to consult. They bring consultants in. They do all these things. You had a bye week. You could have had some time to fix it. I don't care that you need a suntan. I don't care. Look, there were ways to at least work on. We all talked about it.
Yeah, you got to give them a break.
That's fine. They take the break.
You got to give them a break.
You're making $72 million. You got a plane. Take some of the guys with you and their families and go somewhere warm. But you know what? A couple hours in the morning, let's run some routes. Let's get on the same page.
I mean, I understand that. But at the end of the day, it's hard. It's hard to get. I mean, you have a group of friends that you're real cool with.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it now? You know, me and Antonio Smith, we had this conversation yesterday in the locker room, is that we need to start figuring out our schedules to be able to get time for each other and spend time. How hard is it for you to get your five friends together to go on a trip, let alone trying to get a bunch of guys with their own agendas and their own lives in that locker room?
But if you're willing to pick up the bill and say, look, brother.
Hey, they still have an excuse. That's how it always is. That's how it always be.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Then you shouldn't be upset when you don't win it and you're falling apart.
But everybody's not doing that same thing and still winning games.
But Trav, you just told me it's a business. In a business setting, it's your job.
It is. But
so
work harder
at your job or come together at your job.
But here's the thing. How we know he's not working hard? I don't think he's not working hard.
Because he's making the same mistake.
But I don't think he's not working hard.
Okay.
That's one thing I won't co-sign on. Because I don't think Brock Osweiler is going to work and saying, I'm not working hard. I'm just going to go through the motions today.
Just so you know, 72.2 quarterback rating. One of the bottom three in the league.
But just if he's not good, he's not good. But I'm not going to say he's not working hard. Because I know going to work at that building every day is hard work in itself.
That's fair.
So
that's
I'm just saying. I'll just say if we're going to say he's not good, that's one thing. But I refuse to say he's not working hard.
I'm just saying, if they're not on the same page and they're making mistakes mid-season that should have been rectified and tightened up before we got a quarter of the way into the season, let alone preseason,
then they're just,
something's got to change.
Well, then they're just here's the thing: they're just not. They might not do that well, or they might not just be good at that. But I something's going to change. Yeah, they're going to either win or they're going to lose. It's only two ways to go with it. It's like a coach once said, guys, I know what they're going to do today. They're either going to run the ball, they're going to pass the ball. It's only two things that you can do.
You can tie. Remember, there is those things in this league.
That's a possibility.
Okay. So we got lots of possibilities, and we've only gotten 1 hour of the show out of the way. With one in the books and two to go, we got plenty more to talk about. And obviously, Travis and I aren't all sunshine and rainbows today. We're taking both sides of the equation, and you can get in on it too. So if you want to get in and get into the discussion, 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.